Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you. All the time. Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team. Man, I'm mad this morning. Because I can't even raise my voice. I can't even scream at y'all this morning. And this is a Pentecostal word, and it's going to be delivered in a Baptist tone. But praise God. God is good. Amen. God gets the victory. Amen. Are y'all liking this beautiful screen? Amen. It's not ours. So don't like it too much. But yeah, we had a service, a church plant yesterday. They came in, they were doing a vision night, and they asked if they could bring their screens. And I said, well, can you leave it for Sunday? And they said, yeah, free of charge. So praise God. But yeah, we'd love to get one of these. I think we need one, especially for the people upstairs. So I think this is a little too big. I think it's a little overkill if you ask me, but you know, something like that, right? Amen. I want to go while you're standing. Let's go to the Word of God, and I want to take you to two portions of Scripture today. The first is Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, and the other one is John 5, 1 through 6. You can turn to both of them, you can turn to one of them, you can turn to neither of them. If you don't have your Bibles, I've got you up here. I do want you to take note of the context of each passage. In Genesis, this is immediately after Adam and Eve eat from the forbidden tree of knowledge of good and evil. After God tells them not to do it, they do it anyway. And their eyes are open to the reality of this new world of sin that they've introduced. And so in Genesis, God is dealing with sin. And in John, Jesus is dealing with healing. And so you got two different opposite ends of the spectrum, sin and healing. And this is really what life on earth is about, right? Like, we're born into sin and we're in need of healing the moment we're born. And even after we find salvation in Christ, there's still so much that needs to be healed. There's still so much that we need to grow and mature in, right? When we find salvation in Christ, that is when the work of growth begins. That's when the growth of healing continues to move forward. And so whether you're a brand new Christian today, whether this is your first time coming to church in a long time, whether you've been coming to church all your life, we are all still a work in progress. See or no? Amen. We're all a work in progress. We are all being sanctified daily. The moment we think we stop needing the Holy Spirit sanctification is the moment we begin to die again. And so we're still a work in progress. So let's read Genesis 3, 7 through 11. And you're going to have to help me with the amens this morning, because this voice of mine, I hate it. I hate it. I sound squeaky. Can't even sing. I can't even raise my voice without squeaking like I'm going through puberty or something. It's frustrating, but praise God. Amen. It says, then the eyes of both were open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Amen. Next is John 5, 1 through 6. This is Jesus. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which is five colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? Amen. Lord, I pray over this word. I pray that you deliver it, my God, with your authority, with your boldness, my God. And I pray that we would receive it Lord, with conviction, Father God, to be edified, Lord, to be called to heal, my God. In Jesus' name, amen. You can take your seat. Amen. I titled the sermon this morning, Two Questions for Healing. Two Questions for Healing. All over Scripture, you know, we find God asking man questions. It's kind of interesting because you would think, well, why would an all-knowing God ask man anything? We're talking about an omniscient God against a finite and foolish and fragile mind. Who am I that God would even speak to me, let alone ask me anything? But he does all over Scripture. In the Old Testament, God asked Cain, where is your brother? He asked Moses, what's that in your hand? He asked Ezekiel, can these dry bones live again? He asked Isaiah, whom shall I send? Who shall go for us? In the New Testament, Jesus asks a bunch of questions. He asked the blind man, what do you want me to do for you? He asked Peter, do you love me? He asked his disciples, where is your faith? Why are you afraid? He asked Paul, why are you persecuting me? It's not like God doesn't know the answer to all of these questions, right? But God doesn't ask questions to get answers. He asks questions to draw something out of us, to call something out of us. If you ever hear the Holy Spirit asking you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. It's because he's trying to invoke the answer out of your spirit. And I have learned that true healing begins with examination. True healing, if you're a note taker, you can write that down. True healing begins with examination. In the field of counseling, you're taught to ask questions. Counselors, if you go to a professional counselor, they're not really supposed to give you advice, because advice can create dependence. And every time I need advice, I'm just going to be going to a counselor all the time so that he or she could tell me what I need to do. So the goal of counseling is not to heal by advice. It's to heal by asking questions that maybe you haven't dealt with yet. True healing begins with examination. So what does that mean for Christians? You have to first give God permission to search your heart. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. That one sounds intense, but that's the easiest one. Saying, Lord, do what you got to do. Find what you got to find. That's the easy part. Because then you got to give God permission to expose what you don't even know is there. And that's scary. Because what the heck could be in there? I don't know. What's going to be brought to light? I don't know. A lot of times we want God to fix what we know is there, but sometimes fixing what you know is there only happens by exposing what you don't realize is there. And so when we tell God, God, fix my anger problem, and then God exposes the reason that you're always angry, that's what you need to deal with. But you're like, wait, God, I just asked you to fix my anger problem. Just kill the anger. No. You gotta get to the root. We gotta kill what's causing the anger. That's God exposing the real you. And then after you've allowed God to search you and then expose your sin, you have to give him permission to heal what's been revealed by touching it and dealing with it. And that's probably the most uncomfortable part. And so if you really want to be healed, you got to give God permission to search you. You got to give God permission to expose what's been found. And then you got to give God permission to heal what has been exposed. And when I say healing, I'm talking about all kinds of healing. I'm talking about mental healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. I'm talking to those who are carrying addictions and past trauma and generational curses. And you're a product of poor parenting. You're a product of poor upbringing. You're a product of poverty. Healing is very complicated, but in the hands of a powerful God, it's possible. It's possible. And so many people have been walking around unhealed for years thinking it's impossible. Look at the God that you serve. You have made it hard. You have made it complicated. But in the hands of an all-powerful God, it's really that easy. So man, I feel like there's no fuego in me today. for the purposes of keeping things simple, I want to give you two questions for healing. And you know me, man, I never want a sermon just to be a sermon, right? I don't want to give you some things, you take notes and you go home and you know, it's a cute little sermon. I don't do that. That's not why I preach. That's not why we get up here and preach. We preach because, man, we want to hear from what God wants for his people. There is a burden every time we get up here to deliver the word of God. This is not just to sound cool. It's not just to sound cute. It's not just to give you some Instagrammable, quotables and stuff like that. This is really to bring what God wants to bring for his people. Okay? And so I want to preface this by saying that none of this works if you're not honest with yourself. None of this works if you're not honest with God. If you know that you've got some toxic traits, you don't have to raise your hand. But you know who you are. If you know that forgiveness is an issue for you, if you know that ego and pride is an issue for you, if you know that there are some things in your life that you would hate for God to expose on this beautiful LED wall, if you know that there are some text messages that you wouldn't want anybody to see, if you know that there are some things that you said about other people recently that you wouldn't want repeated in public, if you know that you've got a search history that you're ashamed of, if you know that you've got some things floating around in your mind that you would hate to be displayed, it's time to start getting serious about healing, man. I've been a pastor too long, seeing the same people going through the same stuff. Why? It's because you haven't been honest. You haven't been honest with yourself. You haven't been honest with God. You've been looking for microwavable deliverances, microwavable prayers. You tried counseling one time. You didn't like what they told you, so you stopped going. All you've been doing is dancing around these issues that need to be brought to light in order for you to finally move to glory. So two questions for healing. The first one is found there in Genesis. This is immediately after Adam hides from God because of his shame. The Bible says that God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" Look to the person next to you, tell him, "Where are you?" Now, you probably got like a cute little half smile from the person that you just asked that to. Where are you? Right. Nobody likes to participate in these. It's awkward. I get it. But if the person that you asked that question to, if they were like real, real with you, like they were just unashamed and you just caught them in a really vulnerable moment, they might open up and tell you some really deep and dark stuff. But I don't want you to be asked this like by your neighbor in a casual way. I want you to think about this as God asking you, "Where are you? Where are you right now? What would your answer look like to God if he were to ask you, 'Where are you?'" Because remember, when God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know. It's because he's wanting you to examine yourself. He wants you to know the answer so that you can be looking at it, so that you can begin to deal with it. The "where are you" question is a big one because it calls you to be aware of your current position to really examine it. Is this really where you want to be? Is this really what you want to be dealing with? Is the word divorce something you really want to be casually saying every time you get into an argument? Is always feeling jealous about other people? Is always feeling like you got to compete with other people and compare yourself to other people and hate on other people to make you feel better about yourself? Is that really where you're at right now? Where are you in this point of life? And is it bringing joy to the Lord? As I was preparing the sermon, I had to stop and I had to ask myself this question. Where am I? Where am I? And is there anything in my life that is not bringing God joy? It's a very convicting question. It really is. You start to think about it and you start to dwell on it. And then, listen, you start to feel bad about yourself. And we don't like to feel bad about ourselves. So our coping mechanisms start to kick in. And we stop thinking about what's bad in our life and we start to think about what we're doing right. And we never deal with the thing that we need to deal with. And that's where we begin to deflect. I believe there's a lot of Christians. God is trying to ask you this question, where are you? And you're always deflecting. You're always deflecting. Well, my marriage sucks, but my ministry is great. I'm losing my kids, but I'm winning a generation of others. Well, what is God really asking you though, bro? See, what prompted the question out of God to Adam was not the great work that Adam had done in the garden. Adam wasn't being asked this question so that God could pat him on the back. It was the shame that made Adam run away and hide that made God call out to him and say, where are you? God's not asking about what's good in your life, church. He's asking about what's not good, what is not holy, what is not edifying, what is not working, what is bringing you shame. We need to stop deflecting. We need to stop telling God, but Lord, look at all the progress, because God is trying to heal the whole person in you. You don't go to the doctor for a liver cancer diagnosis and then tell your doctor, hey, but my legs are working great. Listen to my lungs. Look at how well I breathe. If we can't face what's wrong in our lives, it is only a matter of time before every other area begins to be affected. I shared this testimony with you before, man. The Holy Spirit, one time he got a hold of me, he shook me. He said, Ryan, is this really how you want to be honoring me with your finances? Is this really where you're at? And what was my response to God? It was a typical reflection. It was like, God, but I tithe. He wasn't asking about my tithe. He was asking about my stewardship. He wasn't asking about the 10%. He was asking about the 90%. Is this really how you want to manage your household? Is this, do you really want to struggle for the rest of your life because of poor decisions? And it caused me to wake up and look at everything that I was so afraid to confront. I had to confront my reality. I had to confront the amount of debt I was in, the poor decisions that I made, the spending habits that I needed to break, and the better stewardship that I needed to build. The where are you question is meant to bring exposure to what you've been keeping in the dark because you're too afraid to bring it out to light. Or maybe you're too ignorant about what's going on in there. Sometimes we got things growing in the dark. We don't even know what's growing. Because even we're too afraid to look. You're not hiding anything because you don't realize what you got to hide. And I believe that God is asking every person in this room, where are you? Where are you? Mentally, where are you? What consumes your mind? What are you always thinking about? What are you dreaming about so much because you think about it? What do you go to sleep with thinking about? What do you wake up consumed with? Where are you emotionally? Why are you always feeling down? Why are you always bringing a negative energy into every room that you go to? Why is there never joy in you? Why? Where are you spiritually? What have you allowed in your life that is causing damage to your spirit? I need to drink water. I went to urgent care yesterday. Thank you, bro. Hallelujah. Look at the Lord. I went to urgent care last night. When this word was burning on me, I was like, man, I gotta finish it. I gotta finish it. And there was there at urgent care trying to get some antibiotics or something, and the pharmacy was closed. And went over there for nothing. Where are you? See, Adam and Eve, they had this expectation to dwell in their obedience, right? When they were created, they had this expectation to dwell in their obedience. Just like us. As believers, we are expected to be faithful to the Lord. We are expected to walk in obedience in tandem with the Spirit. Adam and Eve, they were to be fruitful and multiply. They were to exercise dominion over the earth and everything they did. They were to honor and glorify God. They were to help each other honor and glorify God. That's where they were supposed to be. And so the moment they step out of their obedience, the moment they fail to glorify God, their sin exposed them, and God calls to Adam, "Where are you?" Again, true healing begins with what? Examination. So the question forced Adam out of hiding to explain himself to God. Now, what Adam should have said would have been, "Hey, I'm in my sin. I'm outside of your will. I'm in disobedience. I'm in rebellion. I'm in shame. I'm lost." That's what Adam should have said. But if you notice, Adam didn't respond with where he was. He responded with what he was doing. He said, "I was hiding." It's a verb. And I looked it up to be sure in the Hebrew. It's a verb. I was hiding. This is what I was doing. I was hiding because I was naked. I didn't want you to see me in my nakedness. Many of us are walking around in our nakedness. And we wake up every single day and we realize that we're naked and we're ashamed. And so we're constantly having to cover up the shameful parts of us before we walk out the door because we don't want anybody to see it. And hiding becomes a hindrance to healing. I'm going to say that again because you got to hear it this morning. Hiding becomes a hindrance to healing. You cannot heal what you have kept hidden. But every day we're hiding because we're naked. And we never fix the realization that we're naked because we're always hiding. And we're always having to cover up. And so when somebody presses you on this a little bit, like a pastor or a friend or somebody that knows you well, your response is defensive. Why did you yell at your kids? Why did you yell at your husband like that? "Well, because they just got on my nerves." Is that really why? Hold on. Is that really why? Or is there a deeper layer there? Is there something deeper there? Were you just annoyed? Or is there a real reason beneath the surface of why you're always angry? What? Why are you bringing me this issue about this person? Every time you bring me an issue, it's about this person. Is it because they're doing something wrong? Or is it because deep down, you really don't like this person? It's because deep down, you've got eyes for them that only sees their fault. Man, we need to get serious about this "where are you" question, man. Because God has been asking and we've been deflecting. Adam says, "I was hiding because I was naked." And then God takes it a layer deeper, trying to draw out the right response from Adam. He says, "Well, who told you were naked, Adam? Who told you?" Because it wasn't the serpent. It wasn't Eve. It was your own eyes, Adam. The moment you sin, your eyes were open to everything that you did. This was another opportunity for Adam to fall before the presence of God and say, "God, I failed you as my creator. I failed to lead my wife. I failed to be a priest. I failed to communicate. I failed to rebuke the enemy from my doorstep. I failed to be faithful. I did this. This is my sin." But no, he didn't do that. Adam blamed Eve. Eden blamed the serpent. We blame our past. We blame our parents. We blame the government. We blame the culture. We blame the system. We blame the devil. We blame our trauma. And we never give God a simple response to a simple question. Because we're just blaming, 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 blaming. And we stay stuck in our nakedness, stuck in our shame, stuck in our hiding. Man, we need to stop coming to the altar with these cute little sayings, man. "Jesus, I love you so much." That's great you love Jesus. But like, is that the spiritual warfare we're doing up here? "Jesus, I love you. You're so good, God. Thank you, Jesus." Is that really what we're doing? We need to start being honest. We need to start being real and bringing some real sacrifices to this altar. We need to be able to say, God, I'm in darkness. God, I am in pride. God, I am in depression. God, I am in some arrogance. We got to be super honest with God because we have covered up so much. We can't be afraid to say it if it's real. God, I think there might be some people in my life that I actually hate. Can you say it? Because you feel it. You know it's there, but you never want to say it out loud. God, I think I've actually hardened my heart towards my marriage. Can you say it? Because you're acting like it. God, I really think I want out. God, I really think I'm an addict. God, I really don't want to be doing ministry. God, I really don't want to obey you. God, I don't really want to sacrifice what you're asking me to sacrifice. How honest have you been with God? That's how real we need to be. That's why I said earlier, if you're not honest with yourself, if you're not honest with God, this is just going to be some notes that you take and you never do anything with. But God wants to heal you. He will never heal what you're hiding. The truth will never set you free if you can't even be honest about where you are. Do you want to be healed? That's question number two. Question number one, where are you? Question number two was asked about 4,000 years later by God, this time in the form of Jesus. He asks this man, do you want to be healed? And this is a very obvious, Jesus' mission was very obvious, right? The Bible says that he came to seek and save the lost. His name is Yahweh Saves. I mean, it's very on the nose, right? Jesus is a healer. He wants to heal. And God has my healing. God has my, can you say that with me? God has my healing. It's right there. It's just right there. It's right, like God has your healing. I want you to think about how real that is. Because again, we have made it complicated. We've kept things in the dark. We've kept hiding things. But God has my healing. And so Jesus asked this man, do you want to be healed? I suppose some of us are in a question one season and some of us are in a question two season. Some of you, God is still searching you. God is still trying to expose what's in there. But again, if you shut him out, if you're not honest with him or yourself, you don't even get to question number two. And I don't want to keep beating the dead horse here. I've already said that we've got to stop deflecting. We've got to let our pride down. We've got to be open and honest and give God permission to search and to expose. If you've done all of that and you know exactly where you are and you're still sitting in that filth, then you're in question number two season. The lame man, are you still with me? Because y'all are quiet. Okay. Man, devil didn't want me to preach this. The Bible says that the lame man had been where he was for 38 years. 38 years, that's a long time. I'm not even 38 yet. The other day, someone was like, you look young. I was like, how old do you think I am? He said, 45. Get out of here, bro. Get behind me, Satan. Goodness. That's why I wear hats. But he had been stuck in his suffering for 38 years. If you read the whole text, you know, you'll see that the man gives Jesus every excuse for why he's still there in the same spot. I think I preached this about a year ago. You can go back and listen to it. The message was called Stuck in the Suffering. And that's exactly the point. You know, sometimes we choose to stay stuck in the suffering. It's our choice. The text says that Jesus already knew that he had been lying there in the same spot for 38 years. And so I think, you know, the Bible doesn't say this, but my thought is that when Jesus asked the question, he asked it with a certain inflection to his voice. It wasn't, do you want to be healed? It was, do you want to be healed? Do you even want to be healed? Because 38 years is a long time to see no progress. 38 years is a long time to be stuck in the same spot. Now, mind you, this was a physical infirmity, right? I know we can't just choose to stop having diabetes, stop having cancer, all these other physical afflictions. But the man clearly wasn't just suffering physically. The Bible makes us believe that he had been in the same spot. No job, no future, no hope, all because of this affliction. He probably became depressed, probably started to blame everybody and his mama. He probably saw himself as a victim. He was not just suffering physically. Many people move on from the stuff they can't change and they keep living. My legs don't work. I'll just train upper body at the gym. And man, I've seen these guys, man, at the gym in wheelchairs, and they're living their best life, man. I don't feel sorry for them at all. And they don't want you to feel sorry for them because they've accepted what they couldn't change and they continue to live. They didn't let an affliction make them suffer everywhere else. And so this man had been stuck in his suffering. 38 years, and you still haven't found a way to live with this? You're still letting this take dominance in your life? You're still allowing this to be your excuse for why everything else is a mess? Your future, your family, your kids. You see what needs to be healed. Again, maybe it's sin, maybe it's trauma, maybe it's addiction, maybe it's emotional baggage. You know what it is. You know where you are. You've identified it, but you've held on to this for your own version of 38 years. Do you, God is telling you today, do you even want to be healed? So when we're honest, we were honest about the first question, right? We got to be honest about the second question too. God is, I believe, truly dealing with people today. Do you want to be healed? I want to read this kind of like I wrote it. And maybe one of these relates to you, okay? And I'm asking that you soften your hearts this morning, because this is a word that I know is tugging at some things right now. Because as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit is revealing exactly what you need to be healed from. And you're still making the excuses. You're still pointing fingers. You're still saying, well, this is why. Well, pastor doesn't know this. I don't need to know. You need to know that God wants you healed. Stop giving him excuses. Start being honest about everything. So maybe you say, I want to be healed, but this is all I've known. Because sometimes we have been stuck in our mess for so long, it's become comfortable for us. You know what I mean? Like it's familiar. I don't even know how not to be this. Anything else will feel awkward. Anything else will feel uncomfortable. It'll feel fake. So I want to be healed, but this is all I've known. And so you stay there. Or maybe you say, I want to be healed, but I like how this feels. I like being able to run to this when life is stressing me out. I like being able to run to the bottle. I like being able to run to my computer when I just need a moment of numbness. If I'm being honest with myself, I like how it makes me feel sometimes. It pleases me sometimes. I hate it, but I also kind of like it. Maybe you say, I want to be healed, but this is attached to that. And if I give you this, God, that means I have to give you that. And I'm willing to give you this, God, but I'm not willing to give you that. I see this one a lot. This one's healing with exceptions. I'm willing to forgive every single person who hurt me, but that person, nope, I can't forgive him. That ain't healing, bro. That ain't forgiveness, bro. You haven't healed. We need to stop making excuses for ourselves. We need to stop being satisfied with halfway healings. Are you hearing me? We got to stop being satisfied with healings that don't go all the way. Jesus tells this man after he heals him, he says, look, you're well, but sin no more that nothing worse may happen to you. When the whole isn't well, even the smallest infected area can infect the rest. I
hope y'all are getting this morning, because I feel like God is dealing with somebody this morning. And maybe if it's just one person, it's worth it.
You can be better without being healed. What do I mean by that? You can be better by not being fully healed. Don't believe that lie that better means healed. We settle for better, but we don't settle for healed. See, you can patch things up for a minute. You can replace some bad habits with good habits. You can just make the choice to stop or to start. In marriage, you can just choose to stay together without actually fixing anything. But healing doesn't happen at the surface. It happens at the root. And so many of us have been giving God our symptoms, and we've not been giving God our roots. God isn't looking for your symptoms. God can clear that up in a day. He wants to go deeper. He wants to go to what you're not even looking at. He wants to expose everything. God wants to heal you. Do you want to be healed? Two questions this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand. Earlier I said that this doesn't work without honesty. And I'm not going to force you to be honest, okay? I'm not your dad. If you don't want to be healed, you don't want to be healed. But I'm going to call you to the altars, and I want you to wrestle like Jacob wrestled. He wrestled all night with God. But God called him out on some things. When God exposed the depths of everything that he had been living with, causing his life to be a struggle. Jacob's life was defined by struggle because of who he was internally. And in one moment, one real encounter with God, where Jacob gets personal and he gets alone and he gets in the dark and everybody else is gone, he's talking to God and he has a moment where God brings everything that needed to come out from Jacob. And that was the moment that Jacob's name was changed. Because from that moment on, his identity changed. He wasn't the same person anymore. He didn't have to worry about his nakedness. He didn't have to worry about covering up his shame, because this was a new man standing before God in a single, honest moment with his holy God. I need you to be honest with yourself. I need you to be honest with God, because it doesn't work if you're not. We can come up here. Pastor Larry could pray for you. He can anoint you with oil, and all you do is leave oily. And if that's what you want, cool. But if you want some change, if you want to stop dealing with the same crap that you've been dealing with forever, if you want to stop passing down these generational curses that have been passed down for generations before you, you can do it. It's really that simple. We serve a mighty God.
That's right.
But you gotta be honest. So I need you to wrestle. I need you to wrestle right now. When I give the call, I want you to come. I'm not gonna force you to come out. I'm not gonna say, please come. No. If you don't wanna be healed, that's on you. Okay, that's fine. But I want you to wrestle with one of these two questions, or maybe even both of them. Where are you? And allow God to search and allow God to expose. And then I want you to wrestle with the other one. Do you want to be healed?
And I want you to think about it. I want you to count the cost of that healing, because I guarantee you, being healed does count, does cost you something. Where are you? And do you want to be healed? If that's you this morning, there is healing for you today. The altars are open. The worship team is going to sing.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at mynumachurch. Thanks again, and God bless.